Homelessness is an issue of concern on every island, but it may be most visible on Oahu. Government's been making some strides to help the homeless at both the state and county levels, but the needs are great, and the path to success stories usually not a straight line. It's a situation that's not just about that big picture. It's a story of individuals as well. HPR's Noe Tainigau has been spending some time in Honolulu's Kaka'ako neighborhood and joins us this morning with one person's story.
Hi, Bill. I'm so happy, really, to be able to bring Aura Reyes' story, particularly to you here. I'd like to introduce her. Aura Reyes, I'd say she's in her early 40s, brown hair, medium build. She's one of the principals in a group that's starting up there in Kaka'ako called Kapo'e'o Kaka'ako. And it's a group that's trying to form a community solution to the homeless that are dotting that Kaka'ako area. So I met Aura at a park cleanup that Kapo'e was sponsoring. They've been going to the neighborhood boards and talking to some of the area businesses and so on. We sat under a tree, Bill, and she opened up a whole side of Honolulu that I've been so curious about. How is this living done on the streets? Aura is a certified nurse's aide. She worked for TSA at the time she became homeless. She said she just doesn't know why. She was always a paycheck behind in her payments, you know. Her husband was minding the kids. They've got four. One with special needs. And finally, they went for some social service counseling.
The services they offered to me, I was like, oh, my God, we could so use a psych evaluation. Oh, my goodness, we could so use that for our kids. Like, they need, no, our son needs to get into that kind of program. Like, hey, and if they can expedite them getting into it and us getting what we need, sure, I'm game. I'm down for it. That messed me up. So now we're promised all these wonderful services that now are, I don't know, it just felt like they were there to just break us up.
That was her perception. The family was really stretched thin at that time. The oldest was about 13 years old, was starting to act up in school. They had school conferences. They had separate activities for all the kids after school. One of the kids was still a baby under the age of one. Aura still had her two jobs, CNA and TSA. And they now also had those mandatory counseling appointments. And then the rent went up.
$400 was the jump. To renew the lease would be to $1,500. I cannot do that.
I said, oh, my God. And then, you know, before I actually became homeless, I called all these places up. And they're like, sorry, we can only help you if you're homeless. I said, oh, my God, what if I'm trying not to be homeless? Like, really, really? I have to lose everything before you can help me? Like, are you serious? No, I don't want to be homeless. Like, can I help me now? No, yes. The day after I became homeless, I said, where the hell were all those places that said that they would help me?
Where were they?
What I couldn't happened? Find it. I was like, what the heck? Cause I write everything. I lost everything. I don't have nothing. So I'm starting all over with no phone because my phone got stolen. Like, no phone, no money, no Wi-Fi, no food, no nothing, zero. You start your day with zero.
What do you make of that, Bill?
You know, the two points I would say. One, that fragility of existence, of the idea of being a paycheck away from slipping, but also that idea that for people on the edge of that there's not as much of an emphasis in terms of being, or at least
just staying on that bottom rung.
Exactly, or at least support that she has been aware of, she and others. So I think part of that broader education about resources that may be available within the community.
I think I've been hearing about some programs that do help people right at that level, and I think that's one thing. What happened to them was, Family Promise Shelter took them in. They timed out of there. Then the children stayed in their mother-in-law's house while she and her husband slept in the park in the back. That fell apart. They moved to Lili'uokalani Park, then Dole Park. And still, Aura was working two jobs.
You're at the bottom of your bottom of your bottom. I'm still trying to go to work. You know what I mean? Like, go to work, show up at work, and make like nothing's wrong. And you're still, you don't want to tell people you're homeless, that you lost everything, that you couldn't cut it, you couldn't make the grade, you couldn't, you know what I mean? Like, was it my fault? But it just sounds like an excuse. It always sounds like an excuse. They all want to save my family money. You know, my friends, they're having the same struggle, most of them, they would have helped us, but now they got all their kids plus their kids' kids, and now their kids' kids are having kids all crammed up in a 3-4 bedroom house. Like, they're doing the best they can trying to take care of the 20 people in their house. It's hard.
Boy, Bill, talking to Aura, talking to the beaches and the Sandovals, the formerly homeless that I met on Maui, the slide down and out, you know what's happening. And
well, that attention to the idea, as you say, of folks hanging on to the last rung and before that last slip happens, I think there's another element of this that people may not be as broadly aware of, and that's the working homeless, folks who work jobs, people who are putting in efforts and trying to just, you know, give me another little boost up on this because I'm already doing this.
Or I am currently living in my car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, or I'm living in a storage space, showering at my gym.
There are, I mean, again, different levels to this in terms of that's the phrase that I used before about the fragility of existence in an environment where costs are fixed and high and unforgiving.
Oh, boy. And you know what? Talking to these people, Laura said it again. She said that the worst part of it is what happens when you become an outcast. People not being able or willing to look you in the eye.
It hurts. It already hurts to be here and then to be accused of things that you're not doing, or to try and follow the law only for them to make another law so that you're now breaking the law, or you know what I mean? Like, plenty of people out here are like, oh my God, I've never gotten a ticket before in my life until I came out here. Like,
imagine the people that come out here and they're on their own.
It's hard.
If you had lost everything today and you had a backpack on your back, of course now you have your most, whatever is most important to you in your bag. You have to fall asleep someplace. And anytime you fall asleep, if you give them an opportunity, they will take it. So you have to, I learned, if we fall asleep, my bag is on me in my front.
I didn't realize, Bill, that being able to go to sleep, you're ultimately vulnerable. She slept with two jackets on, one forward, one backward, just to feel safe about that. There's just so many things we don't know about the life there. She said that we've used the word homeless throughout this story, and it's a word, Aura says, is just loaded with ugly stereotypes. She prefers the word houseless, but even then, you know, it's not the best. We don't really know. I mean, these are people, human, regular individuals that we're talking about.
Well, and in terms of the issues involved, I mean, it's broad, it's complicated, clearly, but also, again, those the differences among people who are working, trying to work, doing, it's not just sort of a lifestyle choice. and that, again, makes a big difference in terms of a lot of people's lives.
And how people look at them. Next time, I'd like you to meet John Mantanona. He's another member of Kapo'eo Kaka'ako. And they're just pulling individuals together to create this kauhale-style community. Now, look at this word, kauhale. Hawaiian, defined as a compound with a Hawaiian. It's that this compound comprised a Hawaiian home. It would be eating houses, sleeping houses. This is the kind of model of personal space and shared facilities that a community can work on, and that's what these people are thinking about. And we'll look at that idea with them.
Communities we can work on. Noe Tanigawa, thanks for being here, and we'll be back with more of this down the road, I'm sure.
Hey, thanks so much, Bill.
HPR Arts Culture Ideas reporter Noe Tanigawa. You can find her reports online at hawaiipublicradio.org.